You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Love your propane grill? Well, life just got a little easier with Propane Taxi. Stop lugging that tank. Propane Taxi is a propane grill tank home delivery service that's ridiculously easy and convenient. Just go online, choose a delivery date, and Propane Taxi delivers grill tanks straight to your door. You can exchange any brand of tank. And right now, new customers get their first tank exchange for $10 with promo code TANK10. That's $10 for your first tank exchange with promo code TANK10. Visit PropaneTaxi.com. No contact, no commitment, no problem.
2 days only, this Friday and Saturday. Earn a 25-cent Hy-Vee Fuel Saver discount for every $50 you spend. The more you spend, the more you save. Spend $100, get 50 cents off per gallon of gas. $150 gets you 75 cents off per gallon. And spend $200 and save a dollar per gallon of gas. Get a 25-cent Fuel Saver for every $50 you spend this Friday and Saturday. Only at Hy-Vee.
Okay, it's a cold Thursday night in Dublin. There's six men in a bunker naked holding on to each other just for warmth. And it's the Day Trippers back for a January special, our new fortnightly pod. In the bunker tonight, we have Jay Holm, Neil Gray, Dave Thomas, Andy Young, Phil Casey and myself, Stephen Daly. It's jam-packed. We'll talk a lot of crap over the next hour or so, but you're used to that by now. It's the Day Trippers.
Yes, okay.
You Holm.
What are we talking
about?
You okay, so we're back. First part of the new year, and we have a full house tonight. So tonight we're joined by Jamie Holm. I'm going to change
Jamie Holm.
We got Neil Gray. We got Dave Thomas. We got Andy Young, and we got Phil. Say hello, lads.
Hello, lads.
I knew that was coming, you share. Okay, so...
Trev would never say that word.
Never say that. We'd have
a lot of prompting.
But yeah. I'm alive. Yeah. So
Trev's
that.
Made a comeback.
You're dead on the inside, Steve. Well, you're dead on the inside.
I know, aren't we all? Aren't we all new?
Did we get him to narrate this part?
Was it very good?
So...
A lot more relaxed version of the pod where they're all shouting and screaming and there'll be laughs.
Trev would go,
blah, blah, blah. Ha. Said Phil.
What we should do is record the pod, send it to Trev, and then he can just read it out. Read out what we said in his version.
Yeah, just transcribe it for us.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Absolutely. Beautiful, beautiful. So it's been a while since we've been here, lads.
It's been a while.
Well, actually, that's a lie. We've been here about three times and released none of them.
Yeah.
So there is that. But anyway, a lot has happened in that time. But we're still second place. So we can't argue too much. I know we've had a bit of a moan in our own WhatsApp here and there. Different people have different gripes. But I'm going to lead in with Jamie. Jane,
as I like to call you sometimes.
That's bollocks, Jamie.
Oh, goodness,
door opens. Jamie Holm has left.
Where are you going, Jamie?
Oh, God. Right, come on.
You know nobody else gets that, don't you?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's only us that listen anyway.
We just listen 4,000 times each. So, yeah, Jay, you know, probably 4 or 5 weeks since we've released something in here. It's been a lot of good games and a slip up in that time. What are you feeling at the minute?
I'm going to surprise you now. I'm feeling positive, lads.
What?
We're really good at football. I'm positive. It was a bit of a blow, the result the other day, because of the manner that it happened. I kind of was looking at those block of games over Christmas, and you had the likes of Everton away, City at home, tough fixtures, crammed in back-to-back, and to come out with the points that we did is a really good return, especially now you're seeing the other teams are dropping points. It is very congested at the top, but as we kind of touched on earlier in the week, I'd be more inclined to say that we've made ground on Chelsea rather than the others have made ground on us. If we could just cut out the silly mistakes, you know what I mean, giving away daft goals, I really think we're on to a winner and we'll have a strong second half to the season.
No, fair play. Dave, from your point of view, let's take the Sunderland game. It's the most recent one we've had. It wasn't our best game. We probably looked a little bit leggy, even though we played some reasonably decent football in the match.
Yeah.
Apart from two penalties, you know, it would have been an absolutely amazing Christmas period for us. So, like, whilst there's been doom and gloom, and don't get me wrong, I had an absolute meltdown on Twitter at the time of the actual second penalty. I just decided I was fucking pissed off. But literally within 10 minutes of the final whistle going, I thought to myself, you know what? This is actually not as bad as it's made out to be.
Yeah, well, the truth of it is, if we'd drawn with City and beaten Sunderland, we would have had the same points, but actually City would have had one more. So it's like, you know, you got to take everything in the... I think Jay's right. You've got to look at it as a block of games, 10 points out of 12. You know, if we'd... Jay's right, I know that's funny.
Phil there.
He's twitching. I'll come to you next, Phil, don't worry.
But I saw a lot of people talk about, or debate rather, whether we should have made more changes. But looking at our bench, I'm not sure who the obvious changes are. The only one that jumps out to me is maybe you play Origi instead of one of the forward players. But it's Mane's last game before he goes to the African Cup of Nations. You're not going to take him.
We've asked for a special dispensation for him to stay. So you're not going to bench him.
Sturridge was fit.
Mm-hmm.
And Firmino is probably one of the fittest players that we have. Mm-hmm. And, okay, he had a relatively poor game. But also playing Origi would have unbalanced that whole system. So, but apart from that, I don't see who the obvious change was. You know, you bring Alexander-Arnold in at right back, but that's a step down from
Klein.
You can't do that, right? Okay, maybe Moreno for Milner, which is the change he made at halftime. So, okay, you're talking about 45 minutes where maybe we could have had a different left back. But I don't think he was able to make sweeping changes. I think he was right to trust the players. And we, you know, a silly handball, you know, is the difference between...
And a silly challenge.
Yeah, silly challenge. But you're always going to give free kicks away in that. I mean, it's...
No, sorry, I'm not actually, even though I get it. For the penalty, the Clavin and Wijnaldum
Yeah, just a little bit of... And I think the Klopp system is all about... Like, we can't play that system at 80%.
No, it isn't. I would agree with you there. There's an intensity to our play that will see us sometimes do something rash.
Exactly. And we can't play it. And when concentration drops through tiredness or fatigue or whatever, that's when we make mistakes. And I think that the trick is not about cutting out mistakes necessarily. It's about maintaining that level of concentration or that level of intensity for the full 90 minutes. And I think that will come with time.
Yeah. Phil, you've touched on something in the last while, and it's about the substitutions that Klopp is making, or lack thereof. And I wouldn't necessarily disagree with you, but your feelings... Well, I don't think it's that I'm saying he's making the wrong substitutions. I'm wondering why it's taken 75 minutes, 80 minutes, when we play at such an intense level and you've got three players there to be able to freshen things up.
If you look at that group of games that we've had over the Christmas period, well,
like, if you think about the last time we actually did a pod, it was all of December.
It was August. We've done well since the second.
We're
going to
review 16 games. Yeah. 16 games. Yeah. That Europa League final wasn't bad. No, but like, when you look at it, you say, right, everyone knows that the Christmas period is an intense period, right? And we used the best management of that period I've seen was when Rafa was in charge, and he used to change it around, and there was mad team selections and everything that goes on. But the players seem to come out well into January and ready to push on and always have a stronger second half of the season than they had necessarily, say, the first half of the season.
But he dropped points over Christmas.
Okay. Fair enough.
Right.
And we didn't drop points over Christmas.
Yeah. Well, not to the same extent that we would have had Benitez.
Okay, so we didn't lose to Bournemouth in December.
But it's our best half of the year.
I know I've heard this, right? But I would say to you, and I've said it to you, since the start of November, our performance levels haven't been good as pre-November.
It's very difficult.
They've been patchy. But they've been very on us.
And we've been getting results.
When I say us, I mean...
And I've enjoyed is that we haven't played particularly well in a lot of games and managed to get the results over. And that's a team that's grown in terms of stature and ability, right? And that's a positive, right? The only fear is that those results against Bournemouth, the likes of that, we've dropped 12 points against teams that are outside the top six. It's the most of all the teams that are in the top six of the whole lot of us. We've dropped 12 points. What's been getting what gets us around that is the fact that we've been doing so well against the teams in the top six.
Yeah, has anybody that's something I haven't looked into. Has any other team?
No, we're taking more. We're taking more.
Yeah, like no one else has taken more teams from the teams around.
We're top of the top six mini league.
Okay,
but we're bottom of the
top six mini league against
the top six.
Do you think that's a bit of a champagne problem, though, in a way? Like, it's easier to fix beating the shite, you would think, than being able to beat the top teams. Do you know what I mean? Because I think we've done okay.
But there's a bit of cause and effect. There's a mentality issue. We've always, no matter who's been the manager in the last 26 years, we've always dropped points to stupid teams, right? Yeah. But there's also a bit that when you get into this period, the December period, you have to almost have an eye of 2-3 games down the line, not just even the next games, the 2-3 games down the line. So when you were looking at that one where we knew that there was less than a 48-year turnaround from City into Sunderland.
Which in itself is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, just for TV, like for Chelsea to have had the break that they had.
Exactly.
It wasn't even on the telly. Which is the maddest thing.
Our game.
Yeah. Klopp touched on that. He said, like, I don't understand why you're pushing them to have this quick turnaround, and it's not even on
TV.
No. Yeah, but again, just looking at how we manage it, going back to the substitutions, even substitutions at an earlier stage than 75 minutes maintains a bit more freshness in the legs and a bit more freshness in the players as you change them around. Mm. You mightn't pick up the niggly injuries that, say, Henderson has picked up, that other players have picked up through it, and you might just be able to keep them going for a bit longer because, going back to the point about having to play that style at 100%, you don't play, if you aren't 100% fit, you're going to struggle to play the style Klopp wants us to play us at 100%.
Mm. But which games, okay, I accept that there's an argument to say earlier substitutions give you, 10 extra minutes of game time, right? Okay, I'll accept that. But like, which game are we doing that in? City, when we're 1-0 up, he's going to weaken the team. I don't think he's going to.
It's not even that, Dave. No, it's more so that there's games whereby he makes his first substitution on 75 minutes, his second on 88 minutes, and doesn't make a third substitute. Because
we got a lot of injuries, and also his big thing is about being the fittest team.
Yeah.
So he's conditioned them that he doesn't want to make early substitutions.
No, I'm not arguing with it, just for the record. He and his sports science team know far more than anybody on Twitter is talking about it, including Raymond Van Egg. But you know what I mean? What I'm saying is it's just strange to see, and it takes a little bit. The problem is it takes a little bit of time for you to get your head around, not you personally, but
complained about Rodgers the same, and I think the complaint about Rafa, to go back to Rafa,
it was always on 60.
It was always on 60.
Yeah.
Like, my complaint with Rodgers is that his substitutions are irrelevant.
But I do remember having the same argument with you, right?
About around substitutions.
Why are we waiting until 75 minutes to change it? I think it was more around Rodgers. I think it's a valid discussion. I just don't think it's as clear a cause and effect.
No, it's not. And I think the problem is that when everything's going right, you sort of go, that's a bit strange. I would have maybe brought him on 5 minutes earlier. We're winning 3-0. Why wouldn't you give somebody else a little bit of run out? But you pay no attention to it because you're winning the match. It's when you lose a game and you think, maybe that person for that extra 10 minutes would have added that freshness. And like, for me, Emre Can was quite poor against Sunderland. And Firmino was. So I was looking, now it's probably as well off because Sturridge got injured, but I was sort of thinking, if Origi is the person to go out and play where Mane is now, why not give him 25 minutes, 30 minutes instead of Firmino? Why not bring on even people might slaughter me for this, but why not even bring on Kevin Stewart? If he's good enough to be in the squad, if Klopp is constantly talking about him being a young lad that can come through, can do a job. We're playing Sunderland, for fuck's sake. They're bottom of the league. Yes, they were playing well, but you have to trust that young lad to come in. If Emre Can is not having a good game, take him out.
But not even Emre Can. it's the likes of Kevin Stewart, of Moreno. It's if we're saying that Alexander-Arnold is good enough to be in the first team, getting a run in there. Like, we've seen that when Clavin has come in, he's done a great job as a centre-back.
Mm.
Right? And he came in more or less through injuries, and they were saying, well, we can't play Lucas there because he's a complete liability, right? So it's like, it's just saying, when those players have been given the confidence, they've tended to step up fairly well. Like, when we saw Kevin Stewart play at the back end of last season, he did very well for the team.
I personally don't understand, and I'll bring Andy in now, sorry, but I don't understand why Lucas comes on there. If he's supposedly going out the door, which is what the talk was, and he's going to Inter or whatever it might be, we're not even at home to give him a round of applause. Why doesn't Kevin Stewart, who has the legs to get around, come in and play where Lucas plays? Like, what's your thoughts, Andy?
Yeah, we just think Lucas is out the door, but it's proven now he probably won't be going out the door. We just thought that.
Well, so I didn't.
He'll never go out the door.
I mean, at the time, never. There and then, on the bench, Klopp feels he's the best player to put on.
He's better under the high ball. Lucas is. He's a better header of the ball than Stewart.
Yeah.
Klopp doesn't dislike Lucas like a lot of us do.
Absolutely.
And it's like you're saying about trusting a player to come on. Well, Klopp doesn't fret like we do at 75 minutes. He trusts that the team will go on for the next 15 minutes and probably create a couple of chances.
Mm.
So he stands by it. And he can never be criticised of taking a player out when they're not pulling their weight. Like, he's made half-time substitutions in the past. So I think we're the ones that are panicking. We're the ones that start looking at the bench. If things aren't going well, we're looking at the bench. We're staring at the bench thinking, what could he do? And trying to work out these ideas.
It's the old school way of thinking, isn't it?
Whereas Klopp's standing on the pitch and he's in constant communication, constantly changing things. And as he says, like, their in-game management, there's always other things going on that we don't think of. So
it's probably a case where
probably over-analysing it a little bit. Like, the only time I ever really felt playership changing is when Sturridge doesn't get a run, when you've got this world-class striker on the bench.
Mm.
But I wasn't really feeling that against Sunderland, because we fuck all on the bench. I know we've a bit of depth there, and as I was saying a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago, we spread about 16 players, but we continue out with other injuries, Matip and all. We are quite thin. So I think what was on the pitch was what he felt was going to win the game for us.
Let's be honest.
And we did lose
in most
to a
games,
couple of
if
penalties.
We are not winning by half time, most fans would make three substitutions.
Yeah.
Right? If you look onto it, that everyone's going, if you just
him
looked
for
at
him,
that
him
hive
him.
Mind, right, it would be like, well, I take this person off, that person off, and this person.
Yeah.
The changes get made after 10, 15 minutes.
Right? Oh, I get Moreno off here, you know, I get Milner off here, or whatever.
The thing that Klopp always seems to preach to fans and players is patience. Patience to keep finding the right pass, keep trusting the ideas that he's put into the team. So if they see him making rash substitutions early,
it doesn't show that he has the patience.
It doesn't transmit that he's following the same path, you know?
Yeah.
But just to touch on the Lucas thing there, I think he by what Klopp sort of says and the sort of noises coming out the camp, he's a bit of an influential figure to the players. We don't see this. We don't see the impact he has on the players, and he's a bit of a leader by all accounts. So if you're putting him on for the last 15 minutes to try and see a game out, it could be the impact that he has on those around
him. Of course everyone loves him in the dressing room. He's the div kid in the corner that keeps making all the mistakes. Like, so it's like, he's the lightning rod. It's like everything that goes wrong. Well, thank fuck Lucas is here. He's not going to shout to me, is he? Like, you know, that's why they like Lucas.
Nilo, from your side, you know, let's take it back because we've focused on Sunderland there. Thoughts over the Christmas period?
Well, I suppose how you feel after Christmas period depends entirely on what your expectations were for the whole season.
What you got for Christmas, maybe?
Yeah, well, no, I got fuck off. There, so I don't want to get into that here.
Sorry.
This isn't the forum.
This isn't the forum for that.
No, it depends on where you thought we were going.
You got hair extensions. You shaved head the last time I seen you about 4 weeks ago. You got long hair now. What's the story with that?
There's no point in it. I withdraw my recent comments.
Neil Gray has left the group.
No, basically, what I was saying was it depends on where your expectations are for the season as a whole. And if you would, because the way we drew from a winning position against Sunderland, would have brought us to 3 points, within 3 points of Chelsea, and nearly at the top of the league. Then, if you thought we were going to win the league, you're going to be devastated. But the reality is, we're not good enough to win the league, in my opinion. I was upset at the result because we were in a winning position. But like Jay said, when you take 10 points out of 12, was it? And it's like, it's really, really positive, especially with 48 hours between the between less than 48 hours between the two matches. But I think the match against Sunderland, you could see that actual match is kind of, you could see that as a microcosm of the whole season, because like we were saying, we play at 100%. And everything is about how our physicality, not in terms of strength, but how conditioned we are as compared to the other teams. And our squad, like the boys were saying, isn't big enough to maintain that for a whole season yet, I don't think. So the match against Sunderland, kind of, we were ahead, we got penned back, then we were ahead again, and then we got penned back. I think the season is going to go like that, purely because the squad isn't deep enough at the minute.
I think, yeah. I think
it's not deep enough to maintain that level of physicality for a whole season, Davis.
But I think it's because Chelsea have done something in the last 13 games, from 14 goals, which is freakish, right? Yeah. I mean, they're on, I think, for the largest like points total.
Yeah, they were, before that defeat, they were on for something like 98 points.
Yeah, so
they're 49 points at a halfway point.
Yeah, they're an outlier, right? So you kind of have to, when you say we're not good enough to win the league, you've got to say, okay, we're second behind someone that's put in a half a season that is unlikely to be continued into the next season.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? No.
Without their freak show, we're probably top of the league.
Did I see a stats actually that at the same point last year, Arsenal was top of the league with 2 points less?
At that point.
I saw a stat that said Chelsea got 50 points last season and they have 49 at the moment.
Stats?
Yep.
Stats. Hashtag stats.
Stats.
But yeah, Arsenal were 2 points clear with the same points and now they're fifth. So it's like, you know, it is a strong league and we're second. So I slightly debate the whole we're not good enough to win the league. I think that in most of the seasons this team would be good enough to win the league.
So then we're not good enough to win the league this season.
Well, I don't agree with that.
Well, I don't think we are.
I just think there's going to be a hell of a lot of twists and turns. Again, look at the next block of fixtures. I think we go to United. We go to United. I think we play Spurs and we play Chelsea.
Swansea. Swansea at home.
Chelsea at home.
Chelsea at home,
yeah. So, let's look at where we are after that block of five and then just keep going through these
block of five, if you're going to use this season's previous 20 games as the barometer for where we're at, those five games would say against Spurs, United and Chelsea, we actually shouldn't suffer. So it's the Swansea match. Nearly you want to be worried.
But we go back to a game week, you know, like that's the only thing that makes me think Chelsea will, favourites, is that both us and Chelsea now don't have any European football. Kicks back in middle of January, end of January. Yeah, yeah. So suddenly United, Spurs and City go to two games a week.
Yeah.
And we know that there is a deterioration in points over that.
I've no doubt that coming up to Christmas, Liverpool had to pace themselves a little bit. There has been a very significant drop off since the Bournemouth defeat. We've created less chances in games. You know, the Everton game was won by digging very deep. It wasn't a hugely good performance or anything, but it was, you know, it was a 1-0, something that's rare with us. Same with the City game, really dug deep, created not very many chances. So that wasn't really what Liverpool are all about. I fancy us to pick it up again now. 2 week break of the first 11 playing together. And by the time then Coutinho's back and Matip's probably back in the team, I can see us going out against United and be full throttle again.
I suppose in a sense for me, we've almost lost two players in the sense that we've lost the impact that Firmino had playing through the middle.
Yes.
Massively.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we've pushed him out wide, so we've lost all of that and he's not really giving us anything out on the left. And we've lost Coutinho as well.
Exactly.
So, you know, when you get Coutinho, and the people are saying, oh, Firmino can't play without Coutinho. Well, I think that's a very unfair statement. If he had been still playing centrally and wasn't doing it, then you could say, okay, maybe that's had an impact.
But if we had another winger.
Yeah, if you'd had somebody else to put on the left and leave Firmino in the middle.
Mr. Jordan Mapes, didn't he?
Yeah, big. He's a big loss.
If you look at the players we have lost, though, through the spine of our team, Matip is absolutely massive. Henderson, I think we've seen now when he doesn't play just how important he is to the tempo of the game. He moves the ball so quick. He's so precise in his passing. And you've got Coutinho as well that's been missing. And then Firmino down the spine, who is pretty much central to everything that we do.
We also missed Lallana. You know? Lallana was missing for some of this.
Yeah, he was.
So
yeah.
If you take our most important players, right, you've got Matip, Henderson. All right, Chan was missing, Lallana,
Coutinho,
and then Firmino.
And Karius is out.
And Sturridge as well. If you look at it, like, obviously, you know, the egg makes a few valid points. Liverpool do push themselves, do pick up a lot of injuries. We've just named a whole load of players, important players that have been out.
A few of those are impact ones, though, rather than sort of muscular, sort of, overloading players.
by hook or by crook, we're still getting players that are injured by playing high-intensity football.
I think Egg does say that you're more likely...
We're making more tackles.
What I mean,
we're making
more you're more likely sprints, with that right. intensity. Okay, yeah. You're more likely to pick up an impact injury even because your body is less capable of...
But even so, if you're pressing, you're going to make... There's going to be more impacts.
Yeah.
Stuff. Like, there's loads of factors. Anyway, what's happened was we've had a lot of injuries and... I'm not distracting me now.
Had a lot of injuries.
You're in a flow.
But then I got distracted.
Something about the egg and injuries.
No, it just we've had all them injuries. So obviously over the most congested time of the year, we're gonna fuck off.
Andy's not used to people paying any attention to him. Five people looking at him and he can't handle it.
The egg and injury.
It never lasts in a gangbang.
You were saying most intense period, lots of injuries. We've probably done.
It's quite so obvious that Liverpool are going to play the poorest time in the season is over Christmas while it's so congested. Yeah. So with this 2 week break now, I think it's fucking going
to
be great.
Yeah, I think we're going to see. Well, that's the next thing to come on to. We've got an FA Cup game this weekend. I think we're going to see a lot of changes.
Who are we playing?
Are we
Plymouth?
Plymouth. I think though, before we move on to that game, whoever they are. The problem now with the Plymouth game is like, that could have been a league match. I have no idea who's in the Premiership these days. Like,
that's not the problem with the Plymouth game. That's the problem with you. You don't bother your bollocks looking at anything.
What the fuck? Who are these? But like, there has been a lot of positives over the Christmas period.
Massive.
I think like, you know, we've been focusing on where things need to be improved if you want to maintain that type of run. Like, it is a record-setting run in terms of point totals for us before Christmas. To do that again after Christmas would be a huge ask, regardless, right? Yeah. Most of the times we've always done well, it's always been such a huge run in the second half of the season rather than the first half of the season. But looking at the positives that's there, like, we've got even with the less of an impact out of Firmino, we're still scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Right? As an attacking threat, Lallana is, like, when he's in the team, he's been absolutely phenomenal this season. Yeah. Right, as much as people have been giving out about Chan, he still grabs the team and fucking tries to get us up.
Walks
the pitch,
it slowly up the pitch.
No, but he's still going forward.
Just can't play defensively.
Exactly. Yeah. But then give him a few games there, the same as it was last year. He grows into the role. He's a type of player, but injuries fuck his form up over the course of the season.
Which is no use to us when a player that gets injured.
I know,
so
but
often.
We've seen when he gets a run of 10-12 games.
Who has a loyalty card for Greggs?
Yeah. Well, the best I've seen him playing was in that role he played.
That's not Santa Claus.
I don't care.
What did he say?
I don't believe in Fat Sean. That's a fact, though. He's fat.
He's
overweight.
Come here.
Of course he is.
He's a handsome bastard, but he is lumbering. You can see him lumbering around. As Andy put it, he's a diesel engine. When he gets going, I'd say he needs a parachute to slop. But you know, he does not have 3 or 4 yards of pace. And if somebody goes by him, he doesn't have the ability to go with them.
No, but that's where he does
if he has a bit of a stretch to go.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Because he
has the time because he gets
he's full of torque,
but he doesn't got the acceleration.
There's loads of torque. Whereas Ronaldo suits us in certain roles in midfield, way better.
Just invisible.
No, he's been brilliant for us. In fairness, we were talking about the Everton game and the City game, and he was man the match 3 or 4 games
super,
or something.
He's a super football.
No, in everyone's opinion, except yours.
Yeah. Everyone's apart from yours, but that doesn't count.
if he won man of the match. In 3 or 4 games,
it
means there must have been some substance in it. It wasn't just made up. Like,
to be fair, you don't give a fuck about anything that you don't agree with.
Exactly. Yeah. So, it's irrelevant.
But where he's the opposite of Khan in a lot of ways, because he just gets away with the ball quickly and moves it. Sure, the stats to prove you're wrong.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
He doesn't fucking care.
The thing that annoys me about Emery, it's when he's got all the tools to be a great footballer, and I agree, he needs about 4 or 5 games consistently to get into his flow. But it's when, sometimes if there's the tackle there, or he could get in and nick the ball before the opposition, he likes to turn into the opposition to prove that he's this big, powerful, domineering.
Yeah.
Let them bounce off me. Just get the ball and knock it off and keep moving. And that's what I like about Ronaldo. I know you're not a big fan.
He doesn't want to take a challenge.
He's like, get that ball away from me. He just keeps the ball moving. And that's what Klopp wants. He wants the ball to move at speed so we can break quick.
I'm kind of on Phil's side here a little bit. I quite like that he does that he backs himself, and he's like, you know,
But I don't like him when he does it at the deepest, as the deepest player in the midfield. Mm. I think he's better with Henderson behind him and pushing forward as maybe alternating with Wijnaldum. But on form, Wijnaldum gets in the team.
Like, yeah, like I said, I don't know what Wijnaldum does. And my whole point was that there wasn't one specific thing that I thought he was better than the other players in the squad for. But the last three, 4 games, there's been a marked improvement in his performance through the 90. Yes, there's parts where he dips in and dips out of a game. Happens with a lot of our players.
He keeps
there's
it
very
ticking
few
over.
Of them.
You know, that's what he does.
There's very few of them.
I think Chan has gotten... He's getting a load of criticism. And if you look at Wijnaldum and you look at him over the course of the season, like, I don't think that Chan's overall performance levels for over the course of the season have been good enough. And similarly,
he hasn't been in the side most.
No,
of the
but
season.
When he has been in the side, I don't think it's been up to the level.
But I think and frustration.
But the same thing with Wijnaldum. I think they're both at a similar performance level where they've had flashes of what they were good at. Like even in the Bournemouth game, Chan was brilliant in the first half. He buries that one at the top corner. It looks like, oh, this fella's coming to form. Disappears out of the second half. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the City game, Wijnaldum has an incredible first half. Like, may as well have been sitting in the sand telling everybody what was going in the second half.
But it was. I mean, just to touch on the Cam points, I think people get frustrated because we know the ability that he does have. And I think that's testament.
Well, we know the ability he's being hyped up to have.
I
wish nobody told me he was going to be a good player.
Yeah, I know, you can see there's the way that he can, he's a good footballer. It's just, I don't know, he doesn't show it consistently.
I think we wanted him to be better than he actually is. I mean, he's played 100 games for Liverpool.
He's too much of a jack of all trades. He can play right back. He can play.
That's the biggest problem for an awful lot of players is that where they are so they
utility
cover
player.
So many places that they never actually nail down. Miller has the same problem. Miller's wanted to be a centre midfielder all his life, and
they're
being
good
a winger.
In everything but superb but nothing
I'd
still have him in midfield.
I would have him definitely in the first team squad, and
without question. No, I don't think anybody's at that point where
I think
saying
he rotates
with
Wijnaldum.
The problem though that we're saying is to have him rotating, he needs too many games to come up to speed. He's like Joe Allen. Joe Allen used to have that same issue. Joe Allen looked decent after five games.
Defensive midfield. That's what I don't think he needed it when he was pushed further forward.
He was pushed further forward against Bournemouth. He had a great first half, and then he's blowing in the second half.
Yeah. The closest thing we have to an ever present like midfielder is Henderson.
No question. Yeah, he's
not a world class midfielder. But he's a great player. He's an excellent player, and like he's obviously got loads of leadership things about him. But he's not like Gerrard quality, and that's what we have as our ever-present midfielder. Everywhere else, is kind of like
our ever-present midfielder that never played his best seasons in midfield.
But Steve, going back to the Henderson
Gerrard
team,
you know what I mean. Like what I'm saying is, Alonso was the last player, and him and Mascherano are the only two players in the last 15 years, probably.
If that's the
since
standard,
John Barnes
if that's
was actually
the standard
able
we're
to.
Looking for, now we're going to be looking for it for a long, long time. Because Alonso was just the best passer ball in the world, and Mascherano was nearly the best player in the world
and
for
probably
a couple
still
years.
Is the best passer in the world.
So we're not going to find anyone that
just. Just going back to that, right?
Ben Woodburn.
Last year, Henderson. Henderson was out for had spells out injured, never really got into any type of form at all last season. And most of us here would have said, had he been sold in June, we wouldn't have been that surprised.
I would have. Yeah. I would have been surprised and annoyed.
I said on the Christmas pod, I didn't think he'd start the season. Right. Well, I know we debated it,
Okay, so like we're talking about Chan. He missed a good chunk of pre-season. It seems that this team, the players that are doing exceptionally well for Klopp, have been there through the whole of pre-season and have been right the way through and had the fewest amount of injuries. He's come in. He missed most of pre-season when he got injured that time.
Yeah.
And he's never got up to the same speed as the rest of the players that were there.
And Klopp has started him in midfield every time he's fit.
Exactly.
Since he's come into the club, Klopp starts him. Apart from this little run now this season where he's been injured and couldn't get back.
Yeah, Klopp's only in the club a little over a year.
I heard Chan and Klopp have had a fall now.
Oh, I heard that actually.
Yeah. Mm.
Is that true?
Yeah. Little whisper.
ITK.
Little football whisper.
ITKC.
Ward on the street.
Ward on the street.
www.
I heard.
Meet suit.
.fr.
I heard a clock.
Do you read
maker.
La Keep? It's in there.
I only read the French version.
I heard Klopp say something the other day, which I liked. He wants his midfielders to either be an option or protection. And I think that's what Wijnaldum does better at the moment. So I think that's why he's kind of getting the nod for me.
I agree with that.
Like him, Wijnaldum and Henderson are the three that are getting into that midfield if everybody's fit at this moment in time,
no,
I would think.
Lallana,
Wijnaldum.
What did I say?
You said him Wijnaldum.
Sorry, him, Lallana. I forgot that him was Wijnaldum. Sorry. Him, Lallana, and Henderson are the three that
they
I
recommend.
They are
the three, yeah.
Otherwise, it would be two Wijnaldums, which would be pretty weird.
Oh, like Wijnaldum and Shannon in the same team.
Actually,
the Wijnaldum. Empty fucking midfield.
Shannon and Wijnaldum in the same team, in the same midfield, with Henderson. It's just, no.
Yeah.
It's just...
You need Lallana.
And if you don't have Lallana, you actually have to pull Coutinho in there. Yeah. For me,
or buy someone that can do it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But at the moment in time, with what we have, or you know, Ejaria.
Ever played Coutinho in midfield? Or Woodburn.
Always Ejaria.
Coutinho was actually excellent.
Well,
in the
this is the thing. We have Ejaria.
Did you say Neil?
We have Ejaria.
I don't know if Pop has ever played Coutinho in midfield, has he?
He has. Yeah, he played Coutinho.
I wasn't there. Happy.
He played Coutinho in a couple of games there when Lallana first got injured.
Yeah,
he did.
La la la. La la la.
Never happened.
No, you're right. Your hair looks great.
You don't give a fuck.
Nina doesn't even know what game we're talking about. Is this the Man United game?
He's still reading the agenda he did about 8 weeks ago.
That was a dark moment.
That was a dark moment. It was a dark place.
It was a dark place. It was a dark alley. Let's not go in there, though.
That's what you said, but I did.
You did, anyway. Oh, Cologne. Plymouth. Plymouth the weekend.
What's Plymouth?
I just took that out of my jacks.
Oh, we're playing Plymouth. Yeah, sorry, I thought you were going to Plymouth.
No, I'm not
weekend.
Going to Plymouth at the weekend. Neil might head to Plymouth. He'd probably get the same sort of action he got in Cologne.
Does anyone know a single Plymouth player?
Not a
Robinson.
Single one.
Who's their manager?
Jack Robinson.
Fair weather.
John good manager.
Fair man. Fair man.
There's bound to be a Douglas or something playing.
Yeah. Fuck Plymouth. Let's not be that sort of person that pretends we know stuff about
but
Plymouth.
But lots of changes, right?
Has to be. Just for the sake of freshening up and leaving okay, Klopp is going to want to go out, but he's going to trust his under-23s and his squad players.
Is this the start of the sack or comeback, guys?
Yeah, definitely.
Captain the team out.
Hang on a second.
That's why he hasn't been sold.
That's right. It's the
5th of January and he hasn't been sold.
I can't believe nobody's bought him. He's such a world-class player.
Yes. I heard there's a panda sanctuary over in China waiting to pay the money.
Is he gone quiet on it? Has he gone to ground on Instagram again?
And Snapchat.
Oh, that shit.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's maybe.
Who we think he's going to play? Karis is going to play. Alexander Arnold, Moreno.
Yeah.
Elori.
Lucas
will probably come in.
Ruined
Elori. Well, what's his name? Should get a game. Joe Gomez, you would think.
Gomez, yeah.
Yeah. Gomez in. Yeah.
Kev Stewart.
Ejaria. And maybe
Harry
Chan.
Wilson.
Maybe Chan for more.
And then front three would be Origi.
Ben Woodburn.
Ojo, he's back.
And Ojo. Well, I tell you what,
there's loads of options there. Yeah. And good enough to be Plymouth. Yeah.
If that side went out with, if literally what we just named there, Karius, Arnold, Moreno, Lucas, and
Not Lucas.
With
Matip. Probably won't play Matip, Gomez with Matip. Lucas, though.
I think he might play Love Run with Gomez.
I think Matip
play Lucas in the middle.
I think Matip might get a half.
I don't think he's ready.
He said he's back training tomorrow.
Yeah, but I think Klopp said he won't make it. Why would he risk him?
Okay, when he knows that Matip can come in against United without playing again.
So I think Matip plays.
So I think he might play Love Run or Clavin next to Gomez and play Lucas in midfield.
Clavin, because Gomez is a right centre back, and you know you can't play.
It's impossible.
It's actually against Plymouth or anyone. You can't do that.
Well, Skirtle couldn't, because Skirtle could never play in the FA Cup against any team that wasn't a Premiership team. Do you remember the Oldham game?
Yes. Mm. And Hang on a second.
Yeah. Nobody here say you remember the Oldham game, because it's the only game that I can remember in history that couldn't be got on telly anywhere.
I took the day off the next day to watch it so we could talk about it on the pod.
All right.
Dedication.
Why wasn't it on?
It wasn't on any station.
Because you didn't film it.
No, it was literally
because they said there's no way there's going to be an upset here. Then schedule.
No feed of it anywhere.
Yeah. In America, they don't know about the FA Cup.
They don't even show them.
The Far Cup?
The
Fuck Up.
All those channels that show their games every week, they don't. FA Cup is just.
What are you talking about, guys?
Is this in the Premier League?
Plymouth?
Yeah. Did they get promoted?
Plymouth.
Yeah.
Okay, so we think there's going to be major changes. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. And then.
Are we home or away?
We are. Oh,
you're just actually, taking a punt.
I don't.
You have no idea.
I think we're away.
Testing your research. What you should do is
away.
Just confidently say one of them.
Home, yeah.
We're home. You didn't know who we were playing a minute ago, you dick.
I don't know who we were playing.
I just knew we were home.
So confidently say we're away and then say we're home, and he led it the right one in.
No, he led it the wrong one in. Because that's the level of dick he is. We are
just say we're playing Portland, Stephen.
Plymouth. Right, we're home and it's on BT.
Thanks, Andy. I did trust you, just not him.
Told you.
He doesn't know who we're playing in the fucking Premiership from week to week.
He doesn't know who's in the Premiership.
Who's in the Premiership.
In a weird kind of way, I like these games because you get to see the players that you don't know. You know what I mean? I nearly prefer them in a way because you know
nice
what you're going to get from the others.
Without the fear. Yeah. That's what I like about it. Exactly. I don't care.
Once Skerrell's not playing, there's a good chance we can win these matches.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Like that,
they get a little role as well because we're playing in the Ryder Cup.
Southampton next year. So I'd be nearly.
Oh, that's a semi-final, isn't it?
Yeah, you play a strong side. He played, but he'll leave a couple of players.
How many days is it doing between the Southampton game and the
Southampton? Wednesday, Sunday.
Hang on a second. So we have... it's a cup game. Sunday, sorry, Wednesday, it's Capital Cup semi final.
You're not playing the other semi final.
Oh well, that's good.
They're playing Holland the other semi.
Well, that is good that they're still in there because you wouldn't want them having a fucking full weekend.
Is that a Premiership? Hull are in the Premiership. They got a new. They got a new manager.
Did you see that tweet? Did you see that tweet during the week? And it was fucking magic. They sacked Peter on Love. Earlier in the week, and then they sacked Mike Phelan, and some fella put up, "You've lost in love and feeling." that's fucking good. That's good.
Whoever the only thing about that is, in love wasn't the guillotine coach at all.
Was he not?
No.
Ruining Andy. Yeah, fucking dragging the joy out of everything. Yeah.
That's the best thing about
Jay Holmes left.
Rooner Young strikes again.
That's the best part.
He's a fucking
Because someone
Rooner.
Has just made it up and everyone went with it.
You used to be funny once.
Yeah. You used to be funny once.
What about the United game, Steve?
We're going to a fortnightly.
Is United next after the?
No, we got two games before United.
Yeah, but we're not going to do another pod.
Oh, Southampton.
Yeah, but don't we have to talk about Southampton?
Okay, well, let's pretend Plymouth and Southampton.
Phil said let's talk about United.
Okay, sorry, yeah.
I was happy to move on to
the structures go really well.
No, let's talk about that.
Plymouth beside Southampton.
Phil is doing what he's done from the very first pod, just deciding himself what the fuck is happening, regardless of who's beside him. It doesn't matter. We've got Southampton up then, Carling Cup. It's going to be back to full strength, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, of course. This cup
I think the league is a priority.
Yeah, but I think Jurgen Klopp trusts his players to have a 4-day recovery and be able to play full whack Wednesday, full whack Sunday.
I think we might agree on this, for once, let's enjoy this moment.
Hang on, mark that.
Dave Thomas has left. I'm not having this.
I just think there's a few players that are in contention for the United game, and I don't think Klopp will risk anybody that he needs 100% fit for United. So I would be more inclined to say that there might be a couple of changes in that. I don't think we need to go full strength because you've got Southampton over two legs. Mm. You'd be confident of getting the result.
I think Karius plays.
Yeah.
Karius plays the semi-final. I think Moreno plays.
You've got the same hairdo, hasn't he?
He's not going to play Milner.
Same hairdo as me.
Is that what you're trying to do?
He won't play Milner.
No, he's probably not.
Clavin probably stays in because Matip's going to come back in.
Matip comes back with the view to have him ready for United.
So does he drop Lovren and play Matip Clavin?
Oh, can you imagine the field day on Twitter? That'll be... That's it. Lovren won't be back in the team. He'd be sold
Sacco's
before he's
coming
ended.
Back.
Yeah. Big talk.
I think the Southampton game, because it's a semi final, is a really big game.
I agree.
What happened
last
year.
Strong.
And the United game is really. I think they'll be all taken on their individual merits. I think you're wrong. In my humble opinion,
League Cup is really.
I think he'll play the same side.
No.
Klopp looks at silverware.
He wants the trophy. He wants the day out. He wants him in the paper with the fucking...
The FA Cup to be wholesale changes. But a few big players will come on, get some minutes. Because he can't leave them for the whole 2 weeks.
He's big on rhythm, isn't he? So he's not going to want a lot of them to
sit. And then against Southampton...
19 kids.
Against Southampton...
I used to think that rhythm is gone.
Against Southampton, you probably start with a strong enough side with a few changes and then take three off.
My money is on full strength versus Southampton. Wholesale changes, maybe four or five maximum first team squad players against Plymouth. wholesale changes and full strength against Southampton.
The thing is about the United game, not to pour more sort of pressure on it, I guess, but I think that's season defining. That if we can go there and get some, to be honest, we've got to go there for a win. I don't even think a draw would be good enough. If we really want to lay down a marker, we've got to go there to win.
Go on,
fucking smash them! And if we do, you'd be confident of us going on some type of run then.
They're 5 points behind us.
Going on a run.
Did you just say it, Jay? Got to go on a run.
We need to go on a run now. They're 5 points behind us, and we're 5 points behind Chelsea. And that's that. These
so
are the
they're 10
of,
points behind Chelsea.
These are the type of games that the year we finished runners up, we were chasing Arsenal for third spot or whatever it was, yeah. And they came to Anfield. They could have gone 8 points ahead of us.
Yeah, and we beat them 4-1.
And brought it back to within two. And next minute we fucking. We
true story.
We were able to catch them and go past.
True story.
We disagreed the other day, Dave. Phil,
what? You, Jay, disagree?
Marino in that game. You think he'd be happy to go defensive in that?
I think he's
a pig.
He always does that.
He's a pig. Yeah. He does it because he believes I'll pick up enough points elsewhere. Against I'm not going to lose against these.
Just wants to stop the rot. Yeah.
Well, it's just
think about it. When the year we lost the league. When Gerrard slips in Anfield, right? Mm. He comes with the Chelsea team already in the Champions League, right? And instead of coming and having a go at it that day, they basically just sat there. Yeah.
They also played their second string, and we still couldn't beat them.
Yeah,
That's what worries me. If they look to come at us, I think we'll pick them off. It's a massive pitch at Old Trafford, and I think there'll be spaces in behind them, and I think we'll score. Mm. But if he does go that route, that would worry me a lot.
We'll fucking kill him.
Because you'd think I'm 80 minutes worried. In, nil-nil, fucking corner, whipped into the box.
I'm more worried about Southampton than I am.
Let's face it, he's the Fat Sam of top
exactly.
teams.
Yeah.
He always concentrates on the opposition.
He'll try to out tacticals.
Yeah, he never goes out like Klopp or the proper attacking managers and just sets up to just beat the opposition.
Mm.
He just goes to...
Look at him, what a prick with all his Champions League trophies.
Yeah. League winners.
Whatever, yes, if it wins, if it wins you, football
Look,
games, whatever.
Ibrahimovic is going to hit the bad patch soon, right? I mean, that can't continue.
People have
17 fucking
years
goals.
Now,
That Ibrahimovic is shite playing for Ajax. Wait till he goes to Juve.
But do you know what's funny, though, right? I think people genuinely thought that he was going to be terrible, and like almost like defenders haven't realized that he's Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah,
so it's just like, he can't run, he can't do anything.
Yeah, you know, he's sticking in the corner and turning 5 yards.
The thing that it's in the press in England that the Premier League is so much better than every other league in the world. There's no possible way he can do what he did in other leagues in England because it just
I do like that. I don't like United, but I do
same,
like the fact
the
that Zlatan's killing
he's
it.
Just come
it's
and
the
yeah.
same opinion
it.
They have about Pep Guardiola. I don't know why the papers are always at him. It's because they don't want him to win the league in England because they see it.
Who is
this
top of the goal scoring chart at
the moment? You know what I mean?
Costa
and Ibrahimovic a goal behind him, is it?
Yeah.
Is it that close?
I have them both back then.
The thing about Zlatan is every time he played against an English team in the Champions League, he was normally shit, right?
Yeah.
So this belief of Zlatan couldn't hack it in the Premiership was because he was so bad in the Champions League. So
and
he comes into the Premier League, and it's like they never thought, there's a load of shit teams in the Premier League. There's a load of absolute shit teams and shit defences, and he might just score loads of goals against them, which is what he tended to do.
And it's I agree with on the Guardiola point. I mean, it's fucking ridiculous. The guy has 21 top-level awards as a manager, and there's fucking fat journalists go in. Oh, he's too stubborn. He's been found out.
Just because there's not only two good teams in the league.
It's
a lot of ball.
Yeah.
It really is, yeah. It's
so Costa has 14 and Sanchez and Ibrahimovic have 13 each.
Mm. Yeah. Mine's Firmino.
3.
3 points.
No,
Mane
was
there.
Back.
Yeah,
no, but I think Firmino has 6. Lallana has 7, and Mane has 9.
Jesus, Benteke has a load of goals there. I thought he was.
Isn't
dead.
It mad there wasn't so, as a bit more of a shitstorm about Firmino getting caught for drink driving? It kind of just went away.
Well, when you compare it to the reaction that Rooney got, we're having a couple of bevvies in a hotel on a day off
with his England top on.
He had his England top on.
That's actually what made it a bigger deal. Was people were saying
because he was in the uniform.
Captain.
Like,
yeah, I know.
But he was just having a pint.
At the time,
I was driving a car drunk.
I know,
yeah, but that's what Neil, I know you're against that.
I know you're a big advocate.
I'm not taking a moral high ground here. Really not. All I'm saying is he should know fucking better.
Rooney's the England captain.
Yeah, nobody gives a shiv for me. If you're not a Liverpool fan, you don't care.
I just can't believe it.
Man gets caught drink driving. Man gets caught drink driving.
The papers didn't make
Rooney, the England captain, is on the sauce.
I'm just saying, I can't believe the papers didn't make more of a big deal of it.
I can't.
I just think it's irrelevant.
I think it's irrelevant.
Listen, Twitter made a big deal of it. You know, people were absolutely horrified.
Made a big deal or something.
Yeah, people were horrified by it.
It's not on Facebook.
People will go at all.
It's just chemtrails.
Will Firmino be bombed out now like Sam?
Oh, man.
I guarantee you, the people
never
giving
never going to be a fucking huge reaction by the people at Man.
People were just going, it's disgusting. It's horrible. Liverpool fans. And then I'm thinking to myself, I bet you 10 fucking people driving home this Friday from the pub pissed. Now, you don't know what level of alcohol had. He might have had 3 drinks rather than his permitted 2 over the space of 2 hours.
I got the news, actually.
You sped home as quickly as you could to read it.
Yeah. I set the lights.
But the point on this is, right, he was caught. So he'll be punished.
Yeah,
that's how
he's already been
punished. That is how law and order works. You do something wrong, you get caught.
He's immediately got his 2-year ban.
Exactly.
I care about him playing football.
Is there any way he's going to get out of court on that day we play Chelsea?
Of course he will.
What time
do we play Chelsea at?
4:00.
Court is from half
time.
Does he have to turn up?
It's a Sunday.
What a ridiculous conversation to have.
Oh, is it a Saturday night?
Will he be out of court there before the game? We get him.
Court
wouldn't be open on Sunday. So if it's a 5:30 game or something like that.
No, it's a Wednesday night game or something, is it?
Is it?
Well, then he'll be in court that day.
Yeah, but we're playing him in London, I think, is the thing.
If he's arrested and sent to jail.
He's not going to be part of the day.
No, we play him
in for the game. There's no way.
Unless he drives there
into the team, he's being caught that day.
It'd be brilliant, wouldn't it? Sorry, George, you couldn't just speed things up there with a match against Chelsea.
Imagine he turns up full kicked.
You're banned from driving with a lot of scores. How much is this for?
The best would be, exactly. It's 10 grand and he just pulled a big wad out of his pocket going, keep a change, but
just go in, leave 20 grand. Leave 20 grand beside the gambling thing. There's no camping around, but I'll take it out.
Post me back the change.
Post me back the change, yeah.
I'll be back in a little while anyway. Yeah.
George, put that in the poor box.
I'll just get one of the New Balance Quito models. Yeah. Just standing in the dock.
Or do you know what? Get a fucking taxi.
We've done that on the pitch for the last 6 games, for fuck's sake.
Or say, how much would I get if I drink drove again? 50 grand. Okay, then 70. I got to drive to London.
Yeah. I'm definitely not driving, Judge. No, definitely not. No. I have a friend outside there. He looks about like to me. Drive me.
My twin brother is bringing me down. Yeah. I'll be in the booth.
When Alden's in the car. I know you can't see him, but he is there.
There must be a way of getting out of game. Out of that court thing.
Out of game.
Listen, you would.
I
don't know the English judicial system, but I can guarantee you one thing: if it was in fucking Ireland, there is no way he would be in court that day. I can 100%.
Imagine Brian just being in court.
Yeah,
it just then wouldn't play the All Blacks. Yeah. The judge would be like, "I fucked that now." Yeah, I'll take it myself.
The judge would be like, "I'm at the game." Myself.
Would you like a lift, Brian?
I'd just meet you in the dressing room. It's fine. Like,
yeah,
I'll tell you what the story is.
They should just send your woman in.
Yeah.
Nora from Sheffield. Yeah.
Just stick a top knot on her.
Yeah. Oh, okay, George. Yeah.
Give me a Brazilian accent.
No, just come in with her full Sheffield accent.
Hello.
Tell you what, I was drunk driving.
I didn't know I was.
20,000. Oh, okay, I'll give you 30. No, I'm not Laura. I'm Roberto Firmino.
Is she a pirate, Steve? Or is she...
That's the name of the pod. Pirate Laura from Sheffield.
Captain Jack Sparrow tournament. I am Roberto.
Firmino. You anyway. Sounded like a man from Bow Selected. You know what he does, Mel B.
I think that's the voice he was doing.
Oh, Patsy, you're kicking off a right pong off your minge.
Is that why you were rubbing your crotch when you were
anyway,
do we have any questions to ask us?
We actually did get a few questions in, so let's have a look here now.
There was one asking why we left AI. Anyone want
to? Phil, I'll let you feel that one.
Because we don't like artificial intelligence. We've all seen the Terminator.
Yeah.
We have no interest.
We'll get Trev to audible a feel. Yeah.
That's not the reason. If you want to see the real reason, give me a tweet. I'll fucking tell you, no problem.
It's nice you haven't asked us back.
Anyway, what's Mary Poppins over the Christmas time?
I've seen it loads of times. Why?
Oh, my head's hurting.
What was the best Christmas movie you watched this Christmas?
It's always.
Do you know what was doing? Had Jingle All the Way was on every time I turned the television on.
There's the Schwarzenegger one.
Yeah.
It's between Home Alone and Elf. Every year for me.
Elf.
Is that not hey buddy, hope you find
hope you find your dad.
Yeah. Polar Express.
Thanks, Mr. Norwal.
I'm not a big fan of Elf.
Ah, it's great.
It's all right, like, you know?
It's
all right.
Polar Express has started to creep in now. Polar Express is an annual
great
tradition.
Movie.
The best movie I've seen over Christmas was Star Wars, though. I was
Rogue One.
I wasn't.
That's a shite.
It actually was shit compared to the last one they did.
Why would Darth Vader build a castle in the place where his arms and legs were cut off? There's a question.
It's fucking Star Wars.
That's where he built this in Rogue One. The castle that he lives in, that thing is on Mustafa, I think it's called, which is where he lost
the lust. No, that's where they built the planetary.
Yeah.
I don't know enough about the background of Star Wars. All I know is it wasn't as good as the last one.
You know Darth Vader is, though, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't as good as the one they made 8 months ago.
Starting to sound like the AI comic path.
We're talking about films.
This could get on you.
We could get on now, actually.
Okay.
Did
you enjoy it anyway?
I did. I like
there
was one story.
I like
that.
Yeah.
I like that everybody died in the end.
Yeah.
I like this one. I'm sorry. No. I like Aaron Olsen's question, and it's back to classic Trippers Chats. Would you rather have penises for fingers or vaginas for ears? Maybe it would help Lucas from fouling around the box. So penises for fingers or vaginas for ears?
How would it help Lucas stop fouling around?
He just put that in because it was relevant to us all giving Lucas shit, mainly me.
Yeah.
But penises for fingers or vaginas for ears?
Vaginas for ears, so you could finger your ear.
Finger yourself. You'd double bang.
No, penises for fingers. Imagine the women you could pleasure. I mean, I struggle pleasuring one.
Do you think you
can? I mean, no, you could literally, like, have, you know.
I don't think women would be too interested.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you had dick hands, I don't know how many women you'd get, to be honest.
You'd have to wear gloves all the time.
Women don't find penises attractive.
I'd wear gloves. I still look like I do now.
Fucking gee for ears.
No. My point was, I didn't say, oh yeah, get geese for ears because you'd get loads of women. He said get Mickey's for fingers because imagine what the damage it could do. If you were in Cologne you could, but outside of there.
But I'm happily married, so I'm assuming I would still be happily married with cocks for fingers, right?
So you'd be
my
just,
wife would be.
So you're doing this for your missus, you is what you're trying to say.
You'd be DPing the missus with.
Fucking right.
Fucking right. Nice.
No, what I'd say to many more babies.
Take care of yourself, I'm going to sleep.
Here's my hand, I'll be asleep.
She could just use my thumb. It's fine.
Five dick Dave, that's what they call him.
Would there be circumcised Jesus or
just wipe it down.
Because if they weren't circumcised, you could keep getting cut, the foreskin cut.
Can I ask a question or a technical question?
Of course you can, Dave.
Do they become erect and can you ejaculate that one?
Because if you couldn't reach something, right, you just go, hold on for a minute.
Like if you were trying to lift over people to hit the button in the lift.
Oh, she got too fast.
The press is.
Stand back, I think it's going to blow.
You'd reach every cup in the gaff, but the presses would be in bits.
Imagine the problem is trying to grab something and he got too excited.
Imagine he'd be making bread.
Can you imagine the seagulls you could do?
Fucking hell.
Oh my god.
Okay.
Next
one is from Jay Reed, and he asked the one item left over from Christmas that's still there months later. He said for him, breadsticks for dips.
My wife and kids.
Yeah, I can't get rid of her. he said breadsticks for dips are his one. They're always in the gaff months later.
After eats.
What? In your house for months.
You don't eat them all.
Literally, me, next week, bring them in. I will eat the whole pack for you.
Yeah, you look like you need more chocolate.
Yeah, absolutely. Stone and a half since December. Yes.
Listen, you put it on?
Yeah. Solid. Solid.
Always he needed it because he was going blonde. So yeah. He needed a bit of weight.
That's right, I just took a photo. You have definitely dyed your hair.
Right.
Listen, Mr. plucks his eyebrows. I'd be quiet if I was doing that.
Don't pluck me out.
No, your missus does it. His missus does it.
Mark that there, Phil.
Hang on a second. You might not think it right now, but yeah, I get my eyebrows done. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but you didn't say you didn't. He said,
"Oh yeah,
I don't get my eyebrows."
She does. Not right now. They're about fucking 8 foot long, but. Yeah, normally I do.
So if you've got a couple of stray big ones, like old man hair, you know, like the go.
No, they're all old man hair. Look at the fucking size of these things.
I'm
like the owl lad off the OC.
They are horrible.
They are fucking huge.
You look like that fucking spitting image.
I know, look at the fucking size of these things.
You look like John Burton.
You want to see the fucking... John Burton is a very attractive man.
I was just born with nicely shaped eyebrows.
What's wrong with me?
Anyway, but you've dyed your hair, Steve.
I haven't.
You have.
I haven't dyed my hair since
1962.
2 weeks ago.
Oh, I was fucking 22 the last time I dyed my hair. There you go.
Any resolutions, lads, on the for the new year?
Stop doing the pot.
Yeah, this last trippers.
You gave up the smokes, did you?
24 hours.
Well done.
Got all the way through to the 2nd of January.
Very good.
Back on the
congratulations.
He was already on pipes for that.
Crack pipes.
Exactly.
Just got cracked down my face for 24 hours, then went back on the smokes.
Blazing that shit up.
I was gonna give up like social media. I read this magazine article. Someone gave it up for like a year and said it was like the best thing they ever did. But I read it on Twitter.
I read it on Twitter and shared it onto Facebook.
I felt hypocritical, so I was like, "There we go." You know. But no, I don't have any resolutions.
No, Andy.
You're just going to disappoint.
Andy's just disengaged from tonight now. Andy has left.
Any more questions?
You?
Have I got any resolutions? I was thinking about not binge drinking for 2017. So basically only drinking if I go out for a meal.
Or like just a couple of glasses. A
couple of glasses of wine.
What's behind that?
Just because when I go out drinking, I...
Binge drink?
Like a fucking...
Make terrible decisions.
Ridiculous amount of drink and then end up dying the next day and eating like a prick for the next day as well, and then just
I think that's a very good resolution, Stephen.
Yeah,
so good way to support
that. Shouldn't be it. Was just that should be that just knocked down in the head altogether.
What,
like that?
Drinking like that, yeah, drinking like that is stupid.
Like that, yeah, like that should have been something we gave up, like. I just never do anyway.
But that isn't what happens. People go out and get absolutely. We did it a few.
But the whole point of resolutions is like, you know, you can't say to someone if their resolution is to stop smoking, what the fuck are you going to start in the first place?
It's a resolution that I'm hopeful of actually keeping.
But like you were saying, you're not going to do it for 17, so in 2018, boom.
No. Like if you get to the end of 2017 and you're happy doing it, then you can quite easily just keep it going.
Shane McGowan come next year.
Yeah, the first. Like your man off fucking Father Ted. What's his name?
The TV presenter.
Not Henry Sellers. Is Henry
Sellers? Henry Sellers.
Now fuck the BBC. Anyway, there you go.
There we go.
Fuck the BBC.
Fuck the BBC.
What, me?
Resolutions?
No, not. I don't plan on having a child this year.
Then again.
Yeah, it's early yet. Yeah, absolutely.
One pump, Casey. That's all it needs.
Luke Knobwalker.
Yep.
Go. Okay, so we're going to wrap it up there now. As always, we say a big thank you to the Astro Park in Tala for the use of the facilities here and giving us the bunker over the last couple of years. Tonight we had a big crew in the house. So we had Jamie Holm, Neil Gray, we had Dave Thomas, Andy Young, Phil Casey and myself, Stephen Daly. As always, thank you to you for listening and we hope you'll be tuning in regularly with us with this new fortnightly podcast that we're going to be putting out. We'll keep you in the loop as to the new podcast that will be coming out soon as well. It'll be non-Liverpool focused, more of a general football pod, but a little bit of a difference in format and setup. So hope you listen in next week. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Next week it's fortnightly.
'S been a while. I don't know. Do you want to go again?
Okay.
You clown.
So, let's say you're into yoga or Pilates, or maybe you dabble in gymnastics like me. Either way, you know being flexible is key to doing what you love. That's why Smoothie King created this stretch and flex smoothie for people like us. With whole fruits and organic veggies, plus type 2 collagen, make it part of your daily fitness routine to support flexibility and joint health. So try the stretch and flex smoothie in tart cherry or pineapple kale. Order online today for pickup or delivery. Smoothie King, rule the day.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Oh, that's a cheer we used to do in softball.
What? It's, actually Geico's.
Whenever someone hit a triple, we would wave our bats and yell, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more. But we never got to use it because we would only hit home runs. Annoying.
The phrase is from Geico because they help save people money.
Geico? Yeah, they were our team sponsor.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Sports Social Podcast Network.